Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 2nd. Joining us this morning is, I almost said Humboldt County Congressman.
You can say that.
All right. Congressman for Humboldt County, Del Norte, et cetera, Jared Huffman. Good morning, sir.
Good to be with you.
Now, that's as formal as I'm going to get.
All right.
All right. Yeah, you got to keep it simple for me. Our quote this morning comes from Lawrence Durrell. Quote, "Like all young men, I set out to be a genius, but mercifully, laughter intervened."
We need laughter to intervene periodically,
even
today.
How tough is it to deal with some of the fluffed up egos, ultra egos? I mean, yeah, if you've been a congressman or a senator for umpteen decades, you know, you don't have a first name anymore. Everybody calls you by your title. Is there any normalcy for those folks? Does anybody keep them normal other than spouses?
You know, it varies person to person. I have colleagues, including some that have been there a long time, that have found ways to keep it real. And you would be able to relate to them very easily, and their staff call them by their first name, and it's all real natural. And then you've got others who, it's like the minute they arrive in Washington, something changes, and everybody has to call them congressman. And
so kind of like Sacramento then.
Yeah, and they're probably like the radio business and everything else. You've just got different characters.
Yeah, it would. And I think part of the challenge, you know, correct me obviously if I'm wrong, but it doesn't happen regularly, that there's such levels of filter between you, title, and the constituents, regular folks, that it's really tough not to get trapped by the title when you do have an opportunity to have some kind of interaction.
It can happen because you're in this bubble. Everybody is, you know, calling you these venerable titles, treating you in this new and super respectful way. And, you know, you can sort of begin to believe your own BS if you let it happen. But I think it's very important to keep it real. And everybody's got different ways of doing that. For me, you know, I just go to the store sometimes in my flip-flops and, you know, I'll run into my neighbors and constituents and my kids help me. My wife is 6 feet tall and athletic, and she could kick my butt if I get out of line.
So superb at that task, huh?
Yeah, there's lots of ways to keep it real if you try.
You know, it's goofy to a certain extent, but I think the grocery store is kind of like the common mixing place. Not the hoity-toity gourmet place, but the regular guy shop.
Yeah.
You know, and unless you've been hiding or don't let your picture out at all, people know who you are, and some stay away because they know who you are, and others feel comfortable to come up. I think that kind of stuff is a great equalizer.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I'm perfectly fine when people want to engage me on issues at the grocery store. That's sort of part of my life. You take that on when you go into this line of work. But my favorite is when somebody sees me in the supermarket and just walks by and says, "Hey, Jared." And they don't feel anything weird about it.
Yeah, just regular, kind of regular guy in an extraordinary setting.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that? Boy, now that's like two quotes this morning. That's a little heavy for me.
We're going deep today.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it's not even football season, not even training camp. But it is the playoffs in the NBA. KIS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Congressman Jared Huffman. There has to be some differential.
You can call me Congressman if you like. Yeah. Jared works just fine.
No, I got other names I use for you. What do you see as, I can count to two, so I'm going to spot you and say you can count to two. What do you think are the two top issues for our congressional district in the
local issues
in the next fiscal year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think immigration is going to be a big deal where we are. But just in general, what are the two that kind of have your attention right now?
Well, we've certainly got some transportation priorities that are urgent. And nothing is more urgent, really, than last chance grade, because at any given moment, that thing could slide into the ocean. And
you know, in a week, it's been dropping 4 or 5 inches.
Well, yeah. This is my fifth year as your representative in Congress. We're measuring it now in feet since I took office, the amount of drop. That's pretty scary.
Yeah. Is there... we're doing the stuff on air about the Federal Highway Administration, you know, the fella in, was it LaGrange? Somewhere around Denver. Making the designation. Okay. It seemed to be confusing for a lot of us that it says U.S. Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys at the federal level do the funding. Okay. But Caltrans has the responsibility to, on a contractual basis, I guess, to execute the plan. So initially when we were doing this, everybody, you know, it was circular logic. Everybody was pointing across saying, oh, no, it's those guys. Those guys handle it. Oh, those guys have the funds. So those guys. Are there other relationships like that that are in the district that people might be a little confused about?
Well, this is the flip side of cooperative federalism, you might say. For better or worse, it's been decided that federal funds would be passed down through the states, and states would all kind of set up their own framework for prioritizing and funding and maintaining a lot of these things. And so, like it or not, you're dealing with both Caltrans and the federal dollars that Caltrans stewards. But also, if you want to make an emergency replacement bid for this project, which we need to, that brings you right back into the Federal Highway Administration.
It's interesting now that I guess it's Route 66 is kind of the focal point now because it's kind of fallen apart and it's been, 50-something years, so it's time to either say yes or no. The historical elements
right
to the infrastructure, you know, when Eisenhower did it, all brand new, and then it kind of gets forgotten. How tough
but
is
Route
it?
But Route 66 will never be forgotten the song.
It's been memorialized, and you know, it's the only thing keeping some of those little towns together anymore. But it would seem to me if it's off the radar screen, it really is off the radar screen when it comes to funding issues.
Yeah.
Is there a mechanism in place? Do you guys in your office have anything that says, okay, it's been X number of years to deal with whatever it is?
Right.
We need to start banging the drum a little bit about this issue so that it doesn't get into such a state of disrepair,
right.
Whether it's like, you know, building maintenance is a county issue, city issue.
Dredging is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Because we fall behind the maintenance cycles, all of a sudden harbors and channels are silting in and commerce is grinding to a halt. So that comes up all the time. I wish there was some mechanism where I could just light my hair on fire and activate a stream of federal funds when something becomes really urgent. But it's more complicated than that, especially in the post-earmark age. I mean, that used to really be what earmarks were all about.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I tried that once, that burning the hair thing.
That
didn't work, and it didn't come
back.
Didn't
grow back.
You get one shot at it, baby, uh-huh. One time. So if transportation and infrastructure is one of those two topics,
mm-hmm.
What's the other one that's got your focus?
Well, this may not be a precise ranking, but water and fisheries are a real big deal in my district. Really, all of the natural resource issues that we value economically and also aesthetically and for the tourist economy are big deals for the district I represent. At the heart of this water and fishery piece, though, removal of those Klamath dams is a project that we need to keep on track. If we can get those dams out, get the river healthier, there's going to be enormous benefits, not just to water quality, but these fishery stocks are going to come back. That's good for the working fishing communities that I represent. It's good for the tribes that depend on those fish. It'll be good for travel and tourism, and there'll be lots of benefits.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get a real normal size working fleet, 50-year reference to a normal size fishing fleet in the area.
Yeah.
Now, the Eel also used to have that, as well as a lot of the sloughs in the right. area also. The Eel is silted in for, pick a reason, doesn't matter. But there's a lot of water grabbing that's going on. A buddy of mine in Fortuna had said, you know, back when we had El Nino in the 70s in the drought, the lakes went down, the rivers flowed. This time around, last year during the drought, the lakes went down and the rivers stopped.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
we looked at each other and said, yeah,
we know what's
smile,
going on.
Smile,
there,
smile. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the illegal marijuana, mm-hmm. well, I guess it all is, but let's say the undocumented marijuana growing that's going on now, is that part of water issues? Is it
big
part
time.
Of environmental issues?
Huge.
Is it just illegal? I mean, where does that fit into those pictures?
Well, my view is that there, first of all, I think everybody agrees there's enormous environmental damage going on right now. And it's because you have an underground industry, essentially, that isn't held to high standards, that isn't regulated, that isn't permitted. And so you've got all kinds of water theft. You've got all kinds of water contamination going on out there. And I don't see any of it getting better until we can bring this out of the shadows and regulate it and start cracking down and enforcing. I just met with your new sheriff this morning. And,
oh, with Billy? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've talked with law enforcement all over my district. None of this gets better until we cross this bridge to legalization, in my opinion.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jared Huffman. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. One of the things I think, Jared, that people are anxious about, I guess, this concept of tax reformation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been talked about. It seems like the panacea. I know the president ran on it. But we've also had other previous presidents run on it.
Yeah.
The tax code, I think, if it landed on you falling from 5 feet up, is going to break some bones, whatever it lands on. Is there any interest in real tax reformation, or is it just something that plays well and you're never going to be able to get critical mass to really do what should be done?
There's a lot of interest. I think everybody agrees the tax code is a mess. But people want different things out of tax reform. And to some degree, that breaks down along partisan lines.
That'd be your ox, not my ox.
Well, yeah. A little bit of that.
Okay.
Tax that guy over there.
Right,
not
right.
me. Every special deduction, credit, et cetera, has a constituency behind it. So the minute we start talking tax reform in Washington, I'm telling you the special interests can converge. And you start hearing about everything from the depletion allowance to the different account FIFO, LIFO, and how you can depreciate your inventory.
Well, a simple thing I would think like house deduction.
The mortgage interest deduction
if that disappears, everybody thinks, okay, no one's going to buy a home. Well, I don't think we're buying homes for tax purposes. But
a lot of people have counted on that. And certainly, as commercial properties, people depend on various tax provisions. So it's complicated. And you know, how you do it, what else you do. If you just eliminate the mortgage interest deduction and don't do anything else, that's terrible for home ownership. But if you're going to do it, and maybe you came up with some other way to help people get into home ownership, maybe that's a conversation you could have.
A flat tax viable?
Well, the flat tax sounds great because it's simple. But what you're really talking about is redistributing downward tax burdens, because usually that flat tax is, you know, somewhere around 15%, right?
Neil Bortz was a biggie that I still really, really thought highly of, where there was an exemption up to like $40,000 above that figure. And the way that was handled is you got the equivalent, I know the word is one that people don't feel comfortable with, but a kickback for a certain amount, so that those at the lower ends wouldn't be hit.
Yeah, but you would have to do that, I think,
and
to make it fair.
It's a consumption tax. You're not taxing people for savings. It's when they spend. So you're rewarding.
Oh, you're talking about a value-added tax.
Right? Yeah. Boy, it's been too long. I forgot the fellow out of Georgia who had tried it a couple of times. Herman Cain also was kind of behind it when he was viable early on. But I suppose that's at one end of the extreme. And then there's, come on, guys, let's do something kind of a feeling. Do you think that there's going to be any?
That would be pretty transformative to completely replace the system we have now with something like that. I think we can do some incremental tax reform. And so one thing, for example, that I support that I think has good bipartisan support is the corporate tax rate, which is too high. Most people look at this and agree that the U.S. has the highest corporate tax rate, one of the highest in the world. But the trick is these big multinational corporations don't pay it. They have found ways to game the system, and they've been slipping these provisions into the code for years and years, so General Electric doesn't ever pay any corporate tax.
Well, they're not dummies.
They're not dummies.
You know, you give the opportunity, they're going to take it,
The local businesses that advertise on your station, if they're incorporated, they pay the full freight because they don't have those
How about the station?
The station itself, right, okay? So it's not fair in terms of little guys versus big guys, and if you're interested in the economy and job creation, it's the little guys that create way more jobs than the big guys. So I would love to see us lower the corporate tax rate, but as we do it, close off all of that gaming and loophole stuff and make the big guys pay their fair share and do it in a way that is revenue positive, because we can't forget we've got a $19 trillion debt in this country. We have a deficit that's climbing again. I know we like to pretend that doesn't exist.
There's that whoops factor. Yeah.
So the idea that we can just cut taxes and pretend that growth is going to somehow take care of this massive debt, I think is fanciful.
Well, and if it does, then I would suggest that's an accelerated buy down. Okay. I mean, don't go...
Right. Let that be an upside.
Don't go spending it and... Yeah. Just.
Let that be a positive surprise. But no, I think if we can get a little revenue positive in this tax reform equation, this is a time to do it. Because, look, we haven't been honest about these issues. We have gone to war without having the conversations that prior generations did about maybe we should pay for these wars. We've borrowed for things because we wouldn't have honest conversations.
Well, we talk about Social Security. Talk about going upside down quick, huh?
Well, Social Security is less urgent. Medicare is the one that'll get in trouble sooner.
But borrowing.
Yeah, we need to have a conversation
today
about those too.
Well, hey, speaking of conversation, we'll have some more when we come back.
All right.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jared Huffman. Jared, one of the things I would have suggested was a big issue for our area, for our state, for the country, is the whole thing around marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to use the Latin name.
Yeah, cannabis.
Still pot, weed, marijuana.
Right.
You've seen what it's done to our area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a positive associated with it. Okay. But I think it's kind of like what alcohol was. You know, we're not going to, if we start legislating morality,
right?
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's certainly not where government belongs. And I guess that's my libertarian attitude. Is there anything going true that will either say across the board, because I know that the Attorney General has said, you know, as long as it's on the books, I'm not going to interpret law. That's for others to do. I'm just going to enforce what's there. You want it changed? Talk to them. And to me, that's such a clear message. Great. Okay, so as states are going, is there any movement, or are there still a majority of the country, the representatives, saying, maybe not third rail issue anymore, but still a hesitation, a little sucking of oxygen when you bring up this concept?
Well, there's actually a lot of movement, and it's happening rapidly. The entire West Coast now, California, Oregon, and Washington.
Well, that just falls into the stereotypes. You know that.
The left coast, right?
Yeah, and then you got the East Coast and, you know.
Hey, there's a lot of right-wingers doing this marijuana business. So it's nonpartisan in every way.
It's stunning, but it is.
But it is dysfunctionally right. And the conflict in federal law, where it is technically on paper illegal for every purpose, every place, and these states that say no, adults can use it, and in some cases it's medicine, that has to be reconciled. We've got to allow people to do banking. We've got to allow people to use the U.S. mail without threat of prosecution. And until we can reconcile those things, there's still going to be a lot of risk and chaos in our public policy. But there's a growing bipartisan, thankfully, growing, no pun intended, coalition that's working on that. And the more states that come on board, the more even U.S. senators and members of Congress who once might have thought it was a third rail suddenly move into advocacy mode so that their state can get right with federal law.
It seems intriguing, the dysfunction associated with it. Now, California probably is a prime example. It's been, 19 years since we processed or passed 215, and it's still not together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would hope that the feds could learn from Colorado, California, Oregon to a certain extent, in Washington, about how not to do it.
Yeah.
And say, okay, I mean, this isn't rocket science. You
right.
wouldn't think. Now, it might be politically complicated, but technically it would seem pretty straightforward.
Well, okay. I think part of the difficulty is those of us that live in marijuana country, if you will, have a very different exposure to it than a lot of the Midwestern and Southern states, where it's just something that, you know, some kids use, but other than that, it's not really part of their economy. It's not.
Is it weird for you to come back home and see what normal is here and then leave the, I mean, anytime I'm going to a convention or we're out doing anything, coming back, it's like, it's so in our face.
Oh, yeah.
What,
I was in Garberville yesterday. Oh, so
okay, fine. You know, ground zero.
Yeah.
The acceptance of what we have here, and I keep thinking frog in the pot, in the hot water. How do you reconcile what's normal?
Well, one of the things that I need to do is make sure my colleagues from other parts of the country understand the challenges we face. We're growing 60% of the marijuana consumed in America, but along with that, because it's still an underground economy, comes all of these concentrations of cash and these violent crimes, all of this environmental damage, all of the dysfunction of having a huge part of your economy underground and not paying taxes and not following the rules. That's not sustainable. And it has a real corrosive effect on communities. So I'm really trying to help my colleagues understand that so that it's not just a question of what is your moral judgment about marijuana.
Well, I would think really a challenge would be if they did the road trip and somebody flew into McKinleyville and drove through Eureka and Southern Humboldt. They're going to say, not in my lifetime, period, end of story. We don't want that in our town. The drug culture just being so pervasive. How do you balance that one? And say, yes, but don't come to my town.
Well,
don't come to my area because you're going to see what happens when it's unduly concentrated.
Every community is going to decide for themselves. And so I represent six counties. And in the post-legalization reality we now have, some of the counties I represent want to open the door to cannabis business, marijuana business.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, Marin County, you don't want to try siting a dispensary or anything at all because you're not going to get a permit in
really?
Marin County. There's no community in Marin that wants anything to do with it. So you're just going to see this difference on the county to county, city to city, almost neighborhood to neighborhood level.
Well, that's one to end with. That is bizarre. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
See you again next time. See everybody on Monday.